thank you very much for your very kind introduction, and I'm very happy to be here really right in time to be here at 1 o'clock. In the introduction, it was mentioned that I had studied anthropology, which is right. I actually got my, I wrote my habilitation, or my state doctorate, my second doctorate, on the subject of apocalyptic prophecy in oral traditions, amongst a particular group of contemporary Maya in Mexico, who expect a great transformation to happen very soon, a great transformation which will free them from colonialism. But I'm not going to talk about this particular aspect of contemporary Maya prophecy and time concepts. I would like to go back in time and talk about, particularly about the classic period and the Maya calendar of the classic period of ancient Maya civilization. Well, this Maya calendar is receiving a lot of attention in recently or over the past couple of months and years because of the ideas and the media hype circulating around the date, the 21st of December 2012, when, according to representatives of various apocalyptic groups and esoteric groups, New Age groups, the Maya calendar will end, and time will end, and a great transformation will take place, you know, which, according to their ideas, has a lot of different, several different catastrophes might come together. This is what you see when you travel to Mexico, and in every airport, you know, there are huge screens, monitors, which project the time which we are still, which we are still lacking from doomsday. So Mexico is making a lot of profit, not only Mexico, but many Central American countries marketing doomsday as part of their tourism concept. And this is not only true for Mexico, but when you go to any library, and in particular the esoteric book section in Germany and the United States and wherever you go, now you will find literally hundreds of books and publications which announce the end of time, a great transformation, the global countdown, the end of the world, and everything connected with the Maya calendar. And in order to read the books, you need to drink a coffee in order to be able to digest all of these apocalyptic visions. And I'm not going to talk, I don't want to talk about these ideas which are circulating in the popular culture, pop culture, which have been promoted since the 1960s already. There are two, there's in particular one author who has written a lot about it, and who has promoted, who was amongst the first to promote the ideas of a great end in 2012. This US-Mexican author, Jose Arguelles, has interpreted the Maya calendar, and he thinks, he sees himself as a reincarnation of an ancient Maya king, and therefore he proposes that when we change our vision of time, when we adopt the calendar of the Maya, then we will enter into a new sphere of thinking and a world of peace. But let us go away from these proponents of New Age ideas and enter the Maya world, which you see here. And most of you know where the Maya lived and where the Maya world is located, in southern Mexico, in Guatemala, Belize, Honduras, and El Salvador. And these are the five contemporary countries in, amongst which the world of the Maya is divided. And this is also the region where there are still large groups of Maya. We think about 6 million or 8 million people who still speak Mayan languages and see themselves as inheritors of Maya culture to a certain degree. And in the center of this region, where you see the huge green lowlands, the tropical lowlands, this is a region where the Maya civilization flourished between 250 AD and approximately AD 900, a region which is covered with hundreds of huge archaeological sites, many of them very well known and visited by tourists today. I'm not going to talk about these sites in more detail because my focus here will be the Maya calendar. The Maya are very famous for their calendar, and I should not use singular, I should say calendars, plural, because in fact we have different interwoven cycles, and some of them still are functioning and are being used amongst contemporary Maya groups. One of the most important cycles, and the one which is probably the most interesting one for divination, is the calendar of 260 day, calendar of 260 days, which consists of 20 day signs, 20 days, which are combined with numbers, with the numbers 1 to 13. Every day has a particular significance, has a divinatory or mantic significance. This calendar is used, or has been used, long before Maya civilization began, and is shared amongst all civilizations of ancient Mesoamerica. The Aztecs had the same calendar, the Zapotecs and many other civilizations. They didn't have the same names, but the same concepts associated with the days and the day signs. We still are discussing the origin of this calendar. Now, the cycle of 260 days, the one idea is that it's connected to the average time of pregnancy. Now, the time which when humans are aware of pregnancy, which is approximately 260 days. And an argument in favor of this would be that the day signs are used, the days are used to name the newborn, the first name which a newborn child receives amongst Aztecs and also amongst the Maya is his birth date. And the fate of a newborn is greatly determined by the day on which he or she is born. When I say fate, I should say that every day is polyvalent, and the names of these day signs are chosen in a way that they are very general and can be interpreted or have to be interpreted by a learned priest, by a calendar priest, whose name is He of the Days, Ach-Kin, He of the Days. And so, just to give you an idea about some of the names, the first glyph, which the first day sign which you see here, Imish, means water lily, and defines the surface of the underworld, because the underworld, in Maya cosmology, the uppermost layer of the underworld was a large body of water. And so water lilies became the icon of the surface of the underworld. And ik means wind, and can be interpreted in a person born on this day is very flexible. He's also talking a lot, but he can become a famous musician, and he's also connected to diseases, because diseases in the cultural conception of of body and diseases are brought by winds. And Akbal means night, Gan means precious, Chikchan means serpent. And you see, most of these day signs are nouns, are nouns which relate to culturally important concepts, which can be interpreted in many ways, and therefore it's not just the day signs which are speaking, but we also have a set of 13 numbers, interlocking numbers. Now you can see these are the numbers written with dots and bars. One bar represents the number 5, 2 bars the number 10, and 2 bars and 3 dots would be the number 13. After a combination of 13 times 20 day signs, the cycle repeats again. It's an endless cycle. And the numbers are used like adjectives. They modify the significance of the day signs, and they can strengthen the significance, and they can take away some of the power. Some day signs are related to particular gods, such as number 4 for the sun god, for example. And a priest, diviner, would be consulted in regard to the fate which a newborn would have. But this calendar is not only used, I should come back to this. I'm showing you one page here of a 15th century document, one of the three surviving Maya books. This is a Codex Dresden. It's one single page of a large screenfold manuscript which was folded in Leporello. I don't know what's the English word. It was folded together and like a screenfold. A small booklet. The Maya had a highly developed book culture, due to the tropical climate and humidity and of course the Spanish conquest, most of the Maya books were burned and destroyed and decayed, so only 3 books are surviving. This book, the Dresden Codex, was a handbook for a Maya priest. We know almost nothing about the way this book was used and employed. However, the book contains about 100 different almanacs, and every single almanac is dedicated to a different topic of life, in life. And every almanac is based on a 260-day calendar. You can see that in this case, I don't have a pointer here, I think you can do it with this. There's a single column of day signs here, one column of day signs, and numbers which we see here, numbers in black and red, and these numbers write distances which have to be counted from the initial day signs. Then you have to add, this was a glyph for number 20, so 20 days after this day sign you would come to a day which has a number 13. 10 days after this you would come to a day which has, I don't understand the mathematics in this particular chapter here right now, but I will give you a better example where you can see how the mathematics function. And every almanac, this is one single almanac here. Every almanac, and this is one single almanac, is dedicated to a different topic. We think that these almanacs were used by priests when they were consulted by clients, and they provided information about the divination for a particular day, especially would illustrate the gods, which would be which would be intervening in a certain on a particular day or a group of days. This calendar, the 260-day calendar, is still used. It's a it's still used today for consultation about good days for marriage, for travel, for investing money, making negotiations, and so almost all aspects of daily life, of the daily life of a modern, let's say, Maya farmer, can be covered by this calendar and by consulting the days of this calendar. Maya priests use a aleatoric method by throwing out a handful of beans and counting the beans in a particular way from the day of consultation until the day then they would count the days which are laid out by the beans, or they would ask the client, when did your problem, this particular family problem, when did this begin, would throw out a number of beans and count the beans from this day, and arrive at a particular date, and this date would not immediately provide a solution, but would stimulate another question. So they would see the date at which the first prognostication arrives is the date, let's say, 5 Emish. This means that a particular set of gods would be responsible for the first question. But then another question on the date arrived, another question would be stimulated. And during a consultation session between a client and a diviner, many questions are discussed. We can say it's a kind of very close consultation by which the problem is this a particular social problem, family problem, or an economic problem is discussed between diviner and client. And many consultations and many divinations are laid out. This calendar is still very strong in Guatemala and has become an object of the cultural revitalization movement in Guatemala. In 50 years ago, the 260-day sacred calendar was used only by a small group of insiders and people in very remote parts of the in very remote rural parts of Guatemala. Today, the calendar can be seen everywhere in publications, in the public, and even the leading Guatemalan newspapers would say, well, today, they would provide the date in our calendar, the Gregorian calendar, and also in the Maya calendar, in this 260-day calendar. Well, next to the 260-day calendar, there's also a solar calendar of 19 months, or I should say of 18 months of 20 days, and a transitional period of 5 days, which was approaching the solar year. Of course, this calendar does not record leap days, and therefore the beginning of this 365-day calendar, or HAAB as the Maya call it, moved every 4 years 1 day back in relationship to the tropical year. And the Maya were very aware of this difference of time, but didn't introduce a correction. But I'm not going to talk more about this calendar, which is not so important for us in the moment. The 260-day calendar and the 365 calendar were regarded as cycles which were correlated with each other, and you could provide a particular date by the combination of these two cycles, the 260-day calendar and the 365-day calendar. And such a combination of 260-day calendar and 365-day calendar, this combination which specialists call the calendar round, could reoccur every 52 years, or 18,980 days. I'm not going to talk about the mathematics here. Just believe me, it's every 52 years that a day in this calendar combination could reoccur. However, there was a third count, or third calendar, which we call the long count. We don't know how the Maya called it. This calendar is the one which is the most interesting one for all the proponents of apocalyptic ideas. It is a count of all days which have elapsed since the creation of our present universe, which according to the Maya took place in August 11, 3114 BC. And all the days which have elapsed from this point zero, or from this creation date, were written down with the aid of certain cycles, which are based on the vigesimal system of counting. On the Maya were counting by 20s and not by 10s, in a vigesimal system, and beginning, of course, with the smallest unit, down here. The smallest unit are the single days. In, then we have the next highest unit. The next highest unit was a 20-day period, Winal. And then the next highest period was a year, but this was a mathematical year. I don't want to enter here also, I don't want to enter in explaining all the reasons why they used this mathematical year of only 360 days. So it's an approximate year of 360 days. And then we have 20 of these years, or 7,200 days, and 400 of these years, which would be 144,000 days. And these periods could be written either with these abstract glyphs, which you see here in the left column, or they could be represented by the glyphs which you see in the right column, which these are the gods which dominate the time periods. In fact, these are the personification of time periods. The Maya had the concept that time wasn't only divine, but the time was animate, that time, that there were particular gods of time, a monkey god which represented the day, a god which, probably a kind of toad which represented the 20-day periods, and then different manifestations of birds for the different years, for the years, the 20 years, or the 400 years. And with the help of these periods, a date could be written. This would be a typical long count date which initiates a Maya hieroglyphic inscription. These inscriptions are read in double columns from left to right. So we would first read to the left, in the upper left, the introductory glyph, which probably says simply, it is a count of years. And then we will continue with the first glyph to the right, into the upper right, 9 baktun, which means 9 times 144,000 days. And then the inscription continues to the left, in the second glyph from the top to the left, 13 katun periods. And then the Maya had an incredible invention. They used the zero, and the zero was represented by a stylized flower, a half flower cut in two pieces, a half flower was zero, and you see the glyph for zero here in front of the glyph for year, the tun, then a zero in front of the glyph for 20 days and a zero in front of the single days. And this day was the, in the 260-day calendar, was the day Eight Ahau. And in the 365-day calendar was the day, was the eighth day in the month Wop. Then we can calculate this very easily. Then this is 9 times 144,000 days plus 13 times 7,200 days have passed since creation day. And since we know the zero day or the creation day in Maya mythology in 3114 before C, BC, we can calculate the correlation and find that this corresponds in our calendar to March 16, 692 AD. And so we have a day, an extremely precise calendar, which allows for also for very sophisticated astronomical observations, predictions of solar eclipses, long time astronomical observations of Venus cycles, of lunar cycles, but this is a different chapter. Time, such a date could also be written in this way. This is from an inscription, from a stone inscription from the site, from the archaeological site Quirigua in Guatemala, and it's very difficult to see and to recognize it. There are so many gods and figures here interwoven. What you see here in the top is the introductory glyph. It is a count of years. And then both the numbers and the day signs are represented by the particular gods. And they are embracing each other. Every cycle carries a number, and both are represented by figures and by the gods. I'm not going to read all of this because it's. I should really highlight the different parts here of the different divinities in order to make it possible for you to recognize them. Well, the creation for the Maya time. Time did not begin with creation, but the creation, most hieroglyphic inscriptions refer back to this creation date. But the Maya were very clear that time is larger than the creation date, and that time existed, and probably other worlds also existed before our present world. The present world was created in 3114 BC, when a group of gods came together in the underworld, and they decided that they had to create both the lowest level of the sky and the uppermost level of the earth, and to divide the earth into different polities and states, and to fix the stars in the sky. And therefore, you see bundles, two bundles. Here, there's another bundle over there. And these bundles contain the hieroglyphs for star and earth. So this is a material from which our cosmos is created. And this is still in the, let's say, in the world of darkness. It's before our present creation, probably before the sun came into being. And therefore, there is a black, this image has a black background. But this was not the only events that happened at the beginning of creation. At the same time, according to Maya belief, the most important crops were rescued from the underworld, or were rescued from the gods of the night, I should say. The most important crop was maize, and here you see the maize god coming out of a turtle carapace. The turtle carapace in Maya cosmology and in Maya thinking represented the surface of the world. And there's a crack in the turtle carapace which has been cut by these two gods, one to the left and one to the right. And these two gods are the assistants of the maize god, and have helped him, you know, to come out of the earth. You know, and the mace god is beautiful and young because he represents, you know, the beauty, the idea of a young, beautiful god. You know, but he was not the only god. The other crop that was very important at the beginning of creation was the cacao tree, you know, the sacred beverage of Maya kings, cacao. Well, we know that there are many inscriptions which define the beginning of our present creation. Most hieroglyphic inscriptions, most dates and calendrical inscriptions, of course, focus on historical issues. You know, they talk about royal rituals which took place, conducted by kings who lived in the 6th, 7th, and 8th century AD. However, there are also inscriptions which are directed into the future, and only one single hieroglyphic inscription which mentions the date 2012. This hieroglyphic inscription shows that the Maya interest in the date 2012 was very limited. If this would have been a very important date for them, 2012, we would certainly know many more inscriptions, many more texts and references. The year 2012, the 21st of December 2012, represents the end of the 13th Baktun cycle, the 13th 400-year cycle after the creation. You can make the calculation: 13 times 144,000 days, added to 3,114, and you will end up on December 21, 2012. The number 13 was a very important number for the Maya in many ways. It was a component of many calendrical calculations. There were also 13 zodiac signs in the sky, and many other cycles were associated with the number 13. We know that this is not the end of the Maya calendar. It's not the end of the long count. It simply means that one cycle ends and another cycle will begin. This will be the end of the 13th Baktun cycle and the beginning of the 14th Baktun cycle. The Maya calendar continues. It's a very stupid idea to think of a calendar to end. This calendar will continue and we don't know for how long, but probably in the Maya conceived it also as eternal time. There's really very little we can say about what the Maya thought about the 21st of December. And the inscription is very laconic and short, and as so often, the most important parts are eroded and destroyed. They said, it will happen, and then the next glyph is destroyed, and somehow there is a god who will descend into his house. But this is not something unusual, this is something that will always happen at the end of calendar cycles. A temple will be built and gods will descend into that temple and will be contained in this temple. We have to think about something very real. These were figures of deities which were carried into the temple and which represented the gods who ruled over a particular period of time. And the idea of this text is to say, well, this will continue. We are living here. This inscription was made in 650 something, but it's projected into the future. This king wanted to say, certainly by the end of the 13th Baktun, there will still be somebody who will erect a temple for this god, so that this god, Boron Yokte, will be able to come down. Well, this used to be the only inscription that talks about the 21st of December, but this year, really by pure accident, another inscription was discovered in April or May of this year, and this inscription, the final part of this inscription, also makes a short reference to the 21st of December 2012. However, the rhetoric of this text is quite clear. It's once again a king who talks about his biography and ends this text by saying, well, I will be remembered at the end of the 13th Baktun. Well, I have shown you only the five, let's say, the five time periods which are used in historical texts. You know, the day, the 20-day periods, the years, the 20 years, and the 400 years. And the Maya didn't need to write more time periods in the historical inscriptions. However, sometimes we find hieroglyphic texts with calculations of time which go billions and enormous periods of time back into the past or into the future. And here on this text from this is a hieroglyphic text from a place called Koba. This inscription carries an inscription which we call this phenomenon deep time. Deep time is a time which is before before the beginning of the creation in the idea of the Maya. And these inscriptions go back many periods of time into the past. In fact, this is, when we calculate this, it's this amount of years. And you can see the Maya really have tried to state that time is larger than our human presence and then creation. I also want to talk a little bit about the relationship between time and space. And because this was a very important topic for the Maya, the connection between calendars and topography, calendars and world directions, and calendar and space. In many in Maya art, we often see that day signs and the calendar is projected on models of the on stylized diagrams of the universe. Such as here in this manuscript, where the 260 days of the calendar are marked by black dots, and important turning and important points every 20 days are marked by day signs, by the explicit day signs, by the hieroglyph of the day signs. And in this case, the 260 day period is divided into, is projected onto the four cardinal directions. The cardinal directions can be identified also by the gods who rule over them. And there's also, there are two gods in the center, the moon goddess and probably Itzamnach, who is the first priest, the god who created, the gods who created the calendar. This is also very similar to representations in Central Mexican codices, where we also have the idea that the 260 days are connected to the four world directions. That are, and for every world direction, there are two gods, who dominate and who rule over the world direction. And every world direction is associated with astronomical phenomena, with the sun, with a particular form of temple, with trees, with birds, but also with different kinds of offerings. And here you see an open human chest. This is an open chest with blood coming out of it. And you see in the upper right corner, you see a head with a stream of blood. And then there's a single hand in the upper left, a single hand with a stream of blood. And another part of the body, which I don't recognize exactly what it is, in the upper left corner. So every the corners in between are associated with particular offerings, and there are four day signs which are projected on birds. Four birds in the directions in between, and these four birds, they are called the year bearers. They carry the years. In order to understand this more precisely, I would have to go into the mathematics of both the Maya and the Aztec calendar. This has to do with the overlap between the 260 day and the 365 day calendars. And the days in the 260 day calendar on which a 365 day year could begin, these could only be four different days out of the list of day signs, of the 20 day signs. And these four days on which a 365 day year could begin are called the year bearers. This relationship between directions and days is very prominent also in the Maya books and the Maya codices. Here we have one single almanac, one single chapter from the Madrid Codex, again with a double column of day signs to the left, and then in black color the number of days which have to be added to the first column of day signs in order to reach a new day, which for the new day only the coefficient is written with a red number. And we have a difference between black numbers and red numbers. The black numbers define distances, and the red numbers define the days which are the speaking days, the important days. And this is to be read like this. Then we begin with a day to the left, and then we add four days and reach a new day in the 260-day calendar. And then we add another four days and reach a new day, the number five. You can see the red five in the second column. A new day, new speaking day. And then we add four days more and reach a new speaking day, which is 9 Chikchan. In total, we have, and then we add, for the last image, we add 10 days and arrive at the day 10 Chikchan, 10 Kawak, which is the second day in the first column. And then we have to continue to count like this once again. And the number of days which we have counted from the left to right in one line is 26 days. And since there are two columns of 5 days, we have to do this counting, this procedure, 10 times in order to come back to the same day, or 10 times 26, 260 days. This is an almanac of 260 days, divided between four directions and a central image, the temple. 10 cycles of 26 days are implied here and are divided between directions and 4 days in every world direction, cardinal direction, and 10 days probably in the center. We think that that these texts describe ritual processions, offerings which had to be placed at the four corners of a community and in the center of a community. That landscape and place is very important for marking time. Becomes very obvious when we visit Maya cities, which are full of stelae and altars, stone monuments, 2 or 3 meter high stone monuments, which were erected to commemorate the end of time periods. Every 20 years, sometimes even 10, every 10 years or every 5 years, such a stone monument was carved with the image of a king conducting a particular ritual for a certain god, and on the sides it would record the date on which this monument was built. So after a particular, after some time, you know, the entire city was full of these stone monuments, counting the history of ritual activities of different generations of kings. No, I will jump over this. Now the idea that stone monuments are intimately linked to particular places, and that that places are very important, also becomes clear in the inscriptions which we find on these monuments. They start with a date and then say that the day 13 Ahau, 18 Kumku, in the Maya calendar, the 17th cycle of 20 years, a stone was set, and this glyph describes the place as a flower mountain, at a place called Flower Mountain. And in some Maya cities, such as Tikal, the pass of time was not only commemorated by the erection of stone monuments, but also by the, through the construction of enormous temple groups. Such a standardized temple platform was erected every 20 years, where we have both in the east and the west two temples, and each of these temples has 91 stairs on each of its four sides, a single platform, so the total of stairs would be 365. And to the south, there is a long entrance group, a long entrance building, and to the north, there is a square court, a walled courtyard, and inside of this courtyard was a place of a stela, which carries a hieroglyphic inscription commemorating and recording the date for which this this twin pyramid complex was built. In other cities, we find, such as at Caracol in Belize, we find that huge altars commemorating the last day of 20-year periods are distributed all over the landscape, and even at very distant places from the center. And although we are lacking still archaeological information, we are quite sure that these define places of pilgrimage, and probably also of ritual cycles to which for which where rituals were undertaken. Rituals which are probably very similar to the tobacco and alcohol offerings still practiced by contemporary Maya in Highland Guatemala. For the Maya, one of the principal tasks of kings was to measure time and to define time and the and to renovate the creation permanently. Therefore, kings very often show themselves as lords of time. They stay on hieroglyphs for time periods. They stand on hieroglyphs for time periods. We can see on the left stela a king standing on a day sign cartouche. We know that there was a day sign inscribed in this hieroglyph and a number in front of it. And on the right, there's also a king standing on two hieroglyphs. The first is a date in the 260-day calendar. The second hieroglyph is a day in the 365-day calendar. Kings were the lords of time. They controlled time, but they were also lords, of course, of land and lords of the earth. And both time and land, iconographically, are represented in similar ways. We see here the king standing on the right monument. The king standing on two hieroglyphic signs, you know, which are set into square cartouches, and these represent land, pieces of land. And the king divided time, and the king divided the land. And of course, the kings also stand on captives, as you can see. You probably can see in the left image, as a sign of the not only of victorious warfare, but captives were certainly sacrificed as part of the calendrical rituals. Well, I also want to speak about one aspect which about Maya thinking of time, which connects land and concepts of land and concepts of time, and the division of both, and a concept which is still very present amongst contemporary Maya population. The idea that the tropical forest in which the Maya live, the dense tropical forest, represents the unordered world of chaos. And on the other side, we have human villages and populations and maize fields which represent the ordered world, the world where time exists. And we can, observe this difference between Kash and Maya, which means forest, and Kach, the village. The forest is savage, chaotic, unlimited, dangerous. It's the origin of diseases. And when you walk through the forest, you don't say you walk through. In Maya, you wouldn't say I go through the forest, I go under the forest, because the forest is an image of the underworld. It's dark, like the underworld. On the other side, we have Kach, the village, or any human settlement, which is a social world. It's ordered, it's limited and protected, human beings walk through the village inside, or they say, I'm doing something itchy inside a village. One important aspect of this conceptual difference is that there is no time in the forest, and time exists only where humans are. And time has to be created. Time has to be created by ritual. We know that the Maya believed that there were places without time, or with wrong time. And these were caves. Caves were places where the Maya had access to the underworld. There were places of darkness where no sunlight would ever reach and hit the people entering a cave. And therefore, without sunlight, there was no time, no way to measure time. However, these places were very often visited by the Maya for ritual activities. But the dates which we find written here are wrong dates. They are impossible. They represent combinations of day signs and months, which are mathematically impossible, both here and down here. These are two-day combinations of the 260-day and 365-day calendar, which are impossible. And this was a way for the Maya to express, there is the ordered way of correct time, which is where humans are, and the way of no time, or chaotic time, which are caves and the forest. Well, I will jump over this because it's, I will have to come to an end. I just want to finish with just a few observations about prophecy. I've spoken about divination. We know that divination played a very important role in pre-colonial Maya society. However, prophecy, we have no evidence that prophecy, based on divine inspiration, that oracles were consulted by the Maya. They probably existed, but it was not. We have no written records about the role of oracles. However, when the Spaniards came, they introduced ideas of the Christian Judeo-Christian tradition, of the Judeo-Christian tradition, and the Maya became very interested in particular in the apocalypse. What's the word? In the apocalyptic of Johannes. And reinterpreted these Christian ideas in a way that they said, well, at some point in the future, Maya Christ will come and free us from the colonial yoke. An idea was this very traditional messianistic idea, but it's very strong. It was very strong already in the 16th and 17th century, and is still very present among many contemporary Maya groups. And I think it's a phenomenon which is very typical of societies living in colonial situations, in colonial contexts. So most of what we hear today about Maya propheticism and Maya prophecies of the end of the world or of the apocalypse are recent ideas that were introduced by the Spaniards, in particular by Franciscans who came to Yucatan in the 16th century. And today, and this is where I come back to the New Age groups, the Maya are regarded as an ideal group for the projection of our, let's say, for our own ideas of nature, of a people who are very close to nature, who live in accordance with nature. And therefore, the Maya calendar and is given particular importance, because the Maya are just such an exotic tribe and such an exotic people. And they represent almost everything which we are lacking in our society. And at least this is what many New Age people think. And the Maya are these people who live in unity with nature, and at the same time they are wise and they have developed a calendar and live in peace with time. And therefore I think the Maya have become almost a mirror of our own desires and needs, and all of this is reflected probably in the ideas about the 21st of December. Thank you very much.